I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. In a few minutes, we will pray these words, the opening of the Apostles' Creed. It's been over 6 months since we celebrated the Eucharist as a parish and recited the Nicene Creed, which begins slightly differently. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. Of all that is, seen and unseen. It is easy to marvel at the wonders of creation that we see, the awe-inspiring sunset, or sunrise if you happen to be a morning person, the majesty of a mountain range, pick any mountain you'd like, or perhaps the Grand Canyon, or the steady rhythm of the ocean on the shore, the miracle of life, the canopy of stars overhead. The list could go on for far longer than I could talk, and I'm sure I'd leave out some part of creation that you have seen and perhaps treasured. What we see of creation is incredibly vast. What of the unseen, what we can imagine, and what is beyond our imagination? We know, or should know, that just because we can't see something doesn't mean that such a thing does not exist. Psalm 19 begins, "The heavens declare the glories of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork." If you look up on a clear night, you will see an amazing display of stars. But if you happen to be up in northern Maine, you will see many, many more stars in the exact same sky. If you use a pair of binoculars or a telescope, you will see so many stars that you might have a hard time finding familiar constellations. The technology of the lens has revealed more of creation to us. At the same time, our use of electricity and artificial light has obscured some of the wonder that is there. Back in March, when I suddenly had the time and solitude to try and ponder such things, I started reading a book by Stephen Hawking. One takeaway was the absolute vastness, the infinitely expanding extent of the universe. And if the cosmos were not vast enough, the book also discussed quantum theory and subatomic particles, just as vast and infinite a concept. Definitely unseen as far as I'm concerned. And yet the combined immensity of the cosmos and the microcosmos can't even begin to compare to the immensity of God the Creator. Let's return to the mundane world of what is seen. Our understanding of the natural world continues to grow. 2 months ago, we had plenty of warning that Hurricane Isaias was coming our way. Compare that to the story my father tells of the 1938 hurricane. He was a first grader, a few months shy of his 6th birthday. The principal came into the room and talked to the teacher, who then told the students to go straight home as fast as they could, not to slow down or stop anywhere. In 1938, the storm hit with little, if any, warning, until the storm was making landfall on Long Island. Through science, our understanding of God's creation is increased. Science continually demonstrates how incredibly immense, complex, and wonderfully balanced creation is. But what do we do with such a revelation? The world belongs to its Creator, and we are called to enjoy it and care for it in accordance with God's purposes. To care for it in accordance with God's purposes. In other words, stewardship. We must care for the world we have been allowed to live in. When I found out I was preaching today, I went to the lectionary and read all 3 readings. This was when we were hoping we'd be back in the church, celebrating the Eucharist. Today's gospel was from the 21st chapter of Matthew, the parable of the tenants. We do not own our world. We are simply tenants here also. The owner will lease the vineyard to tenants who will give him the produce at the harvest time. At times, I think we view and treat creation differently depending on the situation. It is easy to value and sing the praises of God's creation on a glorious autumn weekend like this. And yet there are plenty of aspects of creation that we find less desirable. Earthquakes, wildfires, floods, hurricanes, blizzards, viruses, and disease are all part of creation that most of us would rather do without. Yesterday, we had the blessing of the animals. Those of us who have or have had pets cared very deeply for them. But there are plenty of creatures that we don't always treasure or treat so well. There's the little mouse that's so cute, except when it's in our house or church. Some of us may react violently if we see a spider or any other kind of bug. I've yet to meet anyone who claims to like mosquitoes. And let's not forget snakes. Many years ago, I was a choir director in another parish. Announcements were made immediately before the closing hymn. One Sunday, the rector announced, "The church, parish house, and offices will be closed on Friday in order for the exterminators to take care of an infestation. Now I invite you all to rise and join in the recessional hymn, number 405. The organist immediately launched into the introduction to All Things Bright and Beautiful. How many other times have we intended and even claimed to exercise thoughtful stewardship of creation, but just fell a little short? Perhaps our approach to stewardship of our earth can begin with an example from Exodus. The Israelites were instructed to gather just as much manna as they needed for the day, nothing more. How often do we use more than we need? Perhaps we keep the house a tiny bit warmer in the winter than really necessary, or a tiny bit cooler in the summer. Perhaps we jump in the car for a trip that doesn't really need to be made. I'm sure you can think of examples from your own life. In the parable of the talents, the servants who increase what is entrusted to them are rewarded. The one who simply maintains what he gets is cast out. In our stewardship of our planet, we cannot simply maintain what we have. We must strive to improve our environment, to leave things better than they are now. Today's lesson from Mark says Jesus upbraided them for their lack of faith and stubbornness, because they had not believed those who saw him after he had risen. Are we guilty of lack of faith and stubbornness in not believing what has been revealed to us through science? Or are we like the son from last week's gospel reading, who hears the father and says, "Yes, I'll go," but then just doesn't bother? Just like the 11, even with our lack of faith and stubbornness, we are being called to proclaim the good news to the whole creation and to care for that creation in accordance with God's purposes. Amen.